The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday the 15th of December 2025 and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. No, thought y'all was gonna get me today. How Santa could get the gifts to me if he don't know my government name? That's what the producer told me just now. He said, keep on calling yourself not Aaron. Watch how many Christmas gifts you ain't gonna get because nobody gonna know where to drop them off to. If I could be honest with you, if you had an inkling of giving me something for Christmas, not dead, don't give me dead for Christmas. Nobody wants that, right? But I know a whole bunch of people. In fact, Guardian Radio AM is organizing a Christmas giveaway. It is on the clock's pleasure to assist C.A. Newry and Guardian Radio AM with that Christmas initiative. But if you was thinking again, me something nice for Christmas, look here. Find someone underprivileged. Find someone who may have been struggling because they're doing the right thing, right? They're taking care of their dependents. They're paying their bills. You see them and they deserve something nice. Give it to them. Here to them, little small gifts, tokens, acknowledgement, appreciation, right? Brings joy to many, many people. Well, good morning. It's Monday, the 15th of December. We are just under 2 weeks, just over a week away from Christmas. There's lots to talk about in the news today. I still want to do the story of the year. I still want to start that conversation because the last few days leading up to Christmas and the end of the year, they're going to slip away from us very quickly. What's your story of 2025? I imagine for many people, it is the smuggling of migrants bill. I have lots on the list. And then we have what's in the headlines, lots in the headlines to talk about today. I saw an interesting article. Treat Bahamians like expats to entice them to out islands. Right? That was in the Tribune, 5th of December, so I think week before last. And I juxtaposed to the House passes migrant bill immunity clause removed. That was in the Guardian on the 9th of December. This conversation, the smuggling of migrants bill, is of course an important conversation. We should dissect it. I don't know if we have the right tools to dissect it. I mean, of course, everybody has the right to express their opinion within limitations. All of our rights have limitations, and people have been doing that. I'm not sure if these conversations that have been taking place have been the most effective conversations, especially for the aim, right? Like what the intended goal is. These are not necessarily the most effective framing of these conversations. But this article, this headline, treat Bahamians like expats to entice them to out islands. I thought, oh, the irony there. So that's one thing I want to talk about. FNM to ratify more candidates tonight. I wonder if we're going to see some star power on the stage this time. RCI officially opens Royal Beach Club. Worries grow on Grand Lucaya. Those are headlines in today's Guardian. Court orders restoration of world famous Valley Boys nonprofit status. DPM confident Royal Beach Club Paradise Island will boost tourism on Bay Street. I'm really interested to find out, like, what's the rationale? What is his confidence rooted in? And so we can get into that article as well. Today's Tribune, same Royal Caribbean story, different headline, 500 Bahamian jobs as Beach Club opens. Fees absolutely strangling Marina's winter business, which is another interesting story for me because I'm not sure if the government has presented a rationale for the tax regime change, right? I'm not sure if they have presented a rationale or if, like most other things, they just expect us to pick it up, like to just understand it naturally. For me, I wonder, is the U.S. occupation of the Southern Caribbean a part of the rationale? Will growing fares and concerns about cruising and moving through marine territories in the Caribbean, will that ultimately or eventually drive the majority of marine traffic back north to the Bahamas, where cruisers will see the value of the location given the current geopolitical dynamic in the region? It's just very interesting because this industry has been very vocal about the impact of the tax changes on the industry. It's been very vocal about how the industry works. And I have not seen presented in the paper, or I've not seen presented by the marine industry, a rationale given to them by the government for these changes. And I wonder, are we not supposed to expect these things? Is that what it is? Are we not supposed to expect these things? Or if we want to be in the know, we have to attend events like Business Outlook. I see another business, Bahamas Business Outlook, is about to take place. So interesting stories on the deck. Get into the Tribune a bit more. Oh, wow. Mother advised son to plead guilty to get help before he was killed while in prison. That's a deeply troubling story because parents in crisis, parents in frustration, parents deathly concerned about their child's safety, right, tend to make desperate decisions. But by now, we all know relying on the police and the prison system to deal with somebody who has documented mental health issues is just an act of desperation. A mother testified about how she urged a mentally challenged son to plead guilty to a crime in the hope he would receive treatment, only to learn weeks later that he had died alone in a prison cell after following her advice. You see, the story is also in, I think, today's Guardian. Mother testifies at trial of inmate accused of killing her son in prison. So his son ended up in a shared cell in maximum security. And you ask yourself, why would you put somebody with documented mental health issues? I think the mother indicates that he had been, if not charged, if not convicted, definitely detained, right? For issues relating to his mental health status. Why was he not diverted to Sandilands Rehabilitation Center? And then people will say, because Sandilands Rehabilitation Center is not provisioned, it's not resourced, it's not designed, right, for treatment of patients or convicts or suspects that also have severe mental health issues, right? Like, there should be a part of the BDOCS, Bahamas Department of Correctional Services, there should be a psychiatric wing where we train staff to interact with people with mental health issues, where we train officers to safely subdue and detain prisoners with mental health issues. Who has the duty of care? The state has a duty of care. Even if the person is a suspect, even if they're on remand, even if they're convicted, even if they've been convicted of a crime, there is still a duty of care to this person. Who's gonna take the weight? Who's gonna? This is such a sad story. Because at what point did the woman have a lawyer? Was there anyone there to provide legal advice? Does she, in this situation, is the state obligated to provide a lawyer? I don't think so. But still, when somebody comes in and says, hey, my son has mental health issues that are beyond my control, beyond his control, and I, for the sake of the other prisoners, who thought, but this is going to create a risk to other prisoners? It's just a very, very sad story. So the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll free for Family Island listeners. Text line 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. I guess it's an open line. I see not many people are calling in. That's okay. It's another conversation I wanted to have after last week. On Thursday, I had a text where a texter, chastised me and more than suggested that I was being disrespectful to elderly people. And I was in my feelings. Next day, I indicated to the texter that, since you want to talk about it, we're definitely going to talk about it. Because we haven't been talking enough about the 3 Score and 10 gang. Now, that may be the part that the texter found disrespectful, right? Carl, I'm coming to you right now. In fact, I want you to know you're on the air. Just hold for a second. Because I have this thing. See, our prime minister, he's in the 3 Score and 10 gang. I was doing some research, and then I remembered the story about the Grand Bahama residential care facility for the elderly. And I thought, has anybody done anything since that time to tend to care for, to focus on the needs of the aging population? And they haven't. I'm going to go to the caller, and then we're going to get back and continue talking about that. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? All right, caller, let me apologize. The light is red, but I can't hear you. I can't hear you. My apologies. Please call back 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. All right, callers, do me a favor. Keep calling. I'm not sure what's wrong with the line. I see you there. I'm looking at my producer right now. We're going to figure out what's going on. So let me get back to that conversation. I'm so sorry, caller. If you're on a landline and you could hold the line, hold the line. If not, the producer is working on it. All right, so back to this conversation. Yeah. So the texter was upset. Bride felt that I was being disrespectful to elderly people. And I had a feeling. And I thought, you know what? I am mad. And I'm not mad enough. Because I want to ask the 3 Score and 10 gang. See, if you don't know what the 3 Score and 10 gang is, right? That is people who have made it past 70, right? The Bible says you only promise 3 Score and 10. If you make it past 70, you in the 3 Score and 10 gang. Good morning, caller. All right. Just hold the line for me, caller. We're trying to fix that. Good morning, caller. You there? Trying to fix the situation right now. Okay, so I think the lady's name was Mervy Knowles. 2024. We had the situation that gripped the headlines. In fact, people on the ground in Grand Bahama told us in New Providence and the rest of the archipelago, this is an important story. They were in the streets demanding attention, right? The miscommunication, the mishap, miscommunication between caregivers and caregivers, right? Dependents and caregivers. But what was most startling is the lack of infrastructure in place to provide services for the elderly, for aging Bahamians, for geriatric Bahamians. And I thought, you know what? It's 2025. The whole ruling class is 70 or over 70. When I say ruling class, the people making the actual decisions. But who is supposed to tend to the needs of ordinary Bahamians? Good morning, caller. All right, we're still working on the phone line. Caller, who is working? Good morning, caller, you there? Y'all keep trying these lines. Who's tending to the needs, the real needs of the elderly, right? We don't have sufficient residential care facilities. We don't have sufficient daytime care facilities. We don't have sufficient transportation models. And you know what we do have? We have a lot of older people who are trying to maintain their autonomy with the infrastructure that's given, right? But what that means is that autonomous older people who have things to do, places to go, people to see, have to drive to get there because there is no reliable public transportation. Now, when I say reliable public transportation, I'm not diminishing the work of the bus drivers who every morning and every evening are taking people to work and home from work, right? But in the middle of the day, there's a huge gap in services throughout the island. So we have a number of elderly people driving vehicles that just should not be driving vehicles. This is not diminishing their capacity as a human. But if you are 80, and every time you approach an intersection with a car in it, you come to a complete stop because you're not sure what the other car is going to do, you shouldn't be driving. See, there's no problem in that. In a regular country, we would acknowledge that because there would be alternate modes of transportation for people who are no longer able to drive. But we don't have that here. Right? That's just one example. And so I want to ask, is the 3 Score and 10 gang aware of itself? Do you understand the space that you occupy? But here's a more important question. If you did not prepare a way for you in your old age when you were young, who's supposed to prepare the way for you? Did you model it? Did you create a model so young people would know that when you're young, you make provisions not just for other, for older people, but for yourself if you are lucky enough to become old? Is that what we're doing? Producer, no luck yet? No luck on the phone line callers? We're working on it. We're working on it. We're going to figure out what's going on with the board in a minute. If you can call from a landline, keep calling back. I can let you know as soon as the board opens up. I mean, as soon as we get whatever's happening sorted out. Okay. So, like, I wanted to say that. I needed to get that off my chest because, see, people will think you're rowing them. When really all you're trying to do is interrogate a space to figure out what went wrong. Because if y'all couldn't figure out a way for yourself when you got older, how am I supposed to figure out a way for myself? When I get, is it that y'all have children just so that you know you have somebody to take care of you when you get old? Is that it? Because a lot of people are acting like, but for this retirement plan, I wouldn't even talk to my own children. Anyway, that takes me to another segue. See this headline here? Court orders restoration of world-famous Valley Boys nonprofit status. An interim court decision has ordered that the world-famous Valley Boys Junkanoo Group be restored to the list of registered nonprofit organizations. Hey, producer, let's check this call, please. There we go. The order was given verbally in court. Okay. I got you. Their callers, the producer said, yeah, there's an issue with the phone line. But let's keep calling back. Let's see if we can get this one, producer. Pull it out? Okay. There we go. So I'm going to continue reading from this article as we get the phone line sorted. An interim court decision has ordered that the world-famous Valley Boys Junkanoo Group be restored to the list of registered nonprofit organizations and that its business license and tax identification number be restored. The order was given verbally in court by Justice Leigh Farquharson, and a written order is expected to be issued sometime today. The group said it, quote, welcomes, close quotes, the order, which also said that the National Junkanoo Committee is to refer to the group as the World Famous Valley Boys, established 1958. Let's stick a pin. Good morning, caller.
Aaron, you can hear me clear, right?
I could hear you now.
Okay.
Good stuff.
I hope nobody was playing with Miss Green this morning.
I hope not.
We got some of the finest, best producers there, and they know they fix the problem quick.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt.
Y'all don't call and play with this fool. If you ain't want to talk, just listen.
Yes,
and learn.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Do anybody listen to any order from any judge in the Bahamas?
I was wondering the same thing.
What should we be expecting that this judge saying the order? Would that mean that they must do what the judge say?
That's what an order is.
Appeal it because they could maybe afford to appeal it, get the money to pay lawyers and appeal it straight up to the Privy Council.
Ooh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Anybody's really be listening to them judge them and they order anything, but this Wally Boys thing is sickening, man.
Yeah,
I can finish listening, though.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Let's go to the next caller quickly. I know we had you all waiting. Good morning, caller.
Finally.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your patience.
Yeah, you know, the smart thing to do. I mean, I know people have kids.
You still there? You faded right out. Oh, there you go. You're back.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I was saying people have kids hoping that when they get older, they'll be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they invest a whole lot into their kids and probably don't put that investment in themselves.
True.
To their detriment, you know.
Yeah.
But what I want to talk about, Aaron, is, you know, you see what happened. Dwight had such a powerful show, he knocked everything out.
I believe you. It has happened.
Yeah, you got to watch out for Dwight coming on after Dwight, man.
Yeah, man. I understand.
But I learned from Dwight's show that the government is paying $1.5 million a month to keep a hotel open that doesn't have any running water, and who knows what else it doesn't have. I don't know how true that is. But
it costs much more to run PMH a month. That ain't the hotel you're talking about, eh?
Not talking about the Lucaya one.
Oh, okay. That one. Oh, yeah. That's something, eh?
Yeah. And then I also learned from Dwight Schrute that $120 million was paid to the government, but the government can't say where the money is.
So on the show, Dwight read from articles that showed proof that the government got the money?
No, he didn't show any proof. He just said that the money was paid to the government.
That's what the article said. Okay, that's what the article said he was reading from. Okay.
Well, from my understanding, the government should be in receipt of $120 million from this Shire. You know, everything in London got a Shire name to it. I don't know what's going on with that. You should know about that better than me.
How you know? I talk to my cousin about that all the time.
Yeah, really? Okay. But I'm wondering if the money was paid to someone else's pocket and not to the public treasury.
No, man. I don't think that's the question. I think the question, has the money actually been paid yet?
Ah. Well, why would the government say the money was paid?
Man, look here. They say all kinds of things. In most instances, it's miscommunication, right? Like, in most instances, it's incompetence, right? That causes, it's at the root of these things that, you know, that leave us to speculate whether there's malfeasance involved, or whether there's a nefarious element. But in the vast majority of instances, it's just pure incompetence.
And not politics.
But see, it's the politics creates the environment that makes it likely that the incompetence will fester, right? The politics removes the checks and the balances. The politics causes us to forget the things that we should be doing that would ultimately make it impossible, right, for these things to happen.
So that's the reason why when I take someone to court, instead of getting justice, I just get a service.
I mean, that's a part of it. Like, it's an incompetence, right? And you say, okay, let's not put the incompetence on the people. Can we say that the system is incompetent? The system cannot do what it is intended to do. And then the next problem is that nobody can figure out how to fix it. See, because the problem is you can't just go on vacation and shut the whole country down until you fix everything. You have to fix these things as you operate.
But they're passing bills. I mean, they're passing bills left, right, and center, but nothing is being accomplished.
All weekend, I've been reading about and thinking about this term, functionally illiterate. The functionally illiterate, right? And what it kind of means is that you see the word stop?
Yeah.
All of us leave school knowing what the word stop means.
You know what it means.
But it turns out that people cannot figure out what it means for them in the moment, right?
I understand. Because if the females, she say, look, that's as far as I want to go for now. We could go a little further later, but you won't rush things. You end up in jail. Yeah, I understand. But I don't know why we continue to elect these illiterates.
Because we illiterate ourselves.
Aaron, I go on.
Yes, sir.
Jesus, Lord, thanks.
But that's what it is. We are collectively, functionally illiterate. The people can't understand the Westminster system or what is required of them in the moment, right? It is rough out there, but it is what it is. All right, so the phone line is back in order, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, text line 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. So we were reading from court orders, restoration of world famous Valley Boys nonprofit status. The first caller asked, does anybody pay attention to court orders? See, this takes me back to the response to the audited report for the Grifter Games and the Bahama Games. The chair of the local organizing committee in an interview, and I can say it was an informal interview, it seemed like he was caught in the midst of doing something else and gave a quick sound bite. He called it garbage. Right? And then the minister responsible turns around and tables an unaudited report in the face of the audited report to challenge what's in the audited report. And it's like nothing. Nobody said anything. I haven't seen a response from the Speaker of the House, from the clerk, from the OPM, nothing that would bring clarity to that matter. And so then we go back to this story, court orders restoration of world famous Valley Boys nonprofit status. And I could be honest with you all I could see is a plantation and some old men who want war but don't want to fight. And I wonder if, right, the 3 score and 10 gang is aware of itself in the space that it occupies. You want to be the kings of Junkanoo, but are you protecting it? Are you preserving it? Are you truly enriching it? Or have you just created another battlefield where old men could pretend to go to war? Junkanoo is supposed to be a rite of passage. Right? But we have Junkanoo groups who have no, they have no rites, they have no ritual. You know what they don't have? They don't have bathrooms. They don't have bathrooms. All right. For me, the Valley Boys story, right, is, again, just like the smuggling of migrants bill, I don't appreciate the ways that the conversation has been framed. And I think we're doing ourselves a disservice by continually framing this conversation in this way. But producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Green. How you doing?
Hi, good, thank you. How you doing?
Like before you call us, we all stick to this nonsense. You understand? But mm-hmm. Every time it preps an ugly head, somebody got to do the dirty work and challenge. Mm-hmm. You understand? I'm glad to see he knew he called. He wasn't even a nigger for me. But see, this thing was solved, you know, on the screen up until the point of number picking when the other faction of the Valley Boys, was going to the minister office, but right in the back, through the back door to try and get secure a spot, the minister in kind was trying to, like they say, their correspondent said, we're trying to make it, like, fair so y'all don't be disenfranchised like y'all did with the way forward last year, because we gonna do twice last year with nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay? But that, I think, is where the minister made his mistake. By trying to cut a deal with these guys, hoping they would keep their side of the bargain, and then put himself and the NJC in a bad light. Because all 7 other groups had to produce all of their paperwork and all of their certificates, in which all of the correspondents saying that the world famous don't have. So why you walk out a deal like that or bend the rules? That's the reason why you get rid of the JCNP. Mm. And you come out the gate making that big mistake like that, man. I am calling for the minister's resignation.
Oh, boy.
There's no time to scream, because he had 2 years plus to put his foot down, which he refused to do. And I hope the prime minister shuffled his cabinet and get him out of there. Thanks for taking Grammy Boy call.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I was calling for it from long time, but not for that reason. But that's just another reason to add to the list. Just another reason. See, here's another thing. When I was reading this article, Minister to Repay Government for Medals. You all remember that article? That's the 7th of November, 2019, right? It's about the then Minister of Youth, Sports and Culture, Lanisha Rolle, who had given, distributed medals with her face on it to young people coming to like a courtesy call. If we find out then that it's not that she replaced the National Youth Medal, it's just another medal, right? Just like a commemorative gift that the minister was given out. But when you read that article, right, and it says, and Rolle recently came under fire from the Junkanoo community over decisions related to the upcoming Junkanoo parades. The Junkanoo Corporation of New Providence said this week it felt disrespected by the minister. See, for a second there, I thought there was all kinds of PLP, y'all say PLP interference and political interference and this and that. And it turns out y'all just don't like no government in y'all business. You know, except the government is the representative of the people. And so you just, you don't have that call anymore. Anyway, that was a nice walk down memory lane. Here's a text. The world famous Valley Boys doesn't have paperwork because they are being blocked by the original ruling that the Court of Appeal already foreshadowed they would overturn, where they called the way forward hijackers. It's funny that Grammy Boy don't call about that. You know what's funny? None of y'all respect in the court. All of y'all acting like gangsters. That's what's funny. Right? Like you could hold Junkanoo hostage to get your way. Oh, producer, how you put that soft song in my heart just now is about to say something, but it's time to go to the break. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back. We got more texts, and the phone line is open.
Cried as he lifted up to the sky. Oh, please, Mr. Father Tree, the tallest of all. I'm so afraid and so alone. Could one little Christmas tree, so tiny and small, light up someone's home?
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, Jumbo gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Okay.
Welcome back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Listen, we got text and we got the phone line. Let's go straight to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, Erin, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, I think there's three things I wanted to touch, but I kind of only remembering two. Maybe I'm having that pre-3-10 moment.
You know where Rick Fox could be tonight?
Huh?
You know where Rick Fox could be tonight?
Most likely watching TV, watching the FNM launch of their candidates.
Watching it on TV, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
You don't show up too early.
Okay. But listen, unless it's a Diddy party and then you show up very early and you leave before you get there.
No, you actually you go to the after party, the party after the party. That's when the freak-offs begin.
No, that's not. That, see, Alan, be in your bed, please. In your house. Thank you.
But let me just speak about the first thing, the seniors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this all ties in to, actually, all three of them ties in, because you talk about, I think they say two of them like extra expats.
Oh, yeah. So that was, but I don't want to be too familiar. Sandy Sands?
Yeah. Yeah, but see, what happens is, the fact is that the benefits available to behemoths is superior to that of expats. The problem is that the availability of funding using conventional means is what behemoths have not been made aware of.
I got you.
So what happens is there's laws been passed in the Bahamas, such as the DARE bill and other modifications. But the main problem we have as behemoths is that we have not been taught the vehicles that is necessary to achieve the goals that we need. You know, so when you look, for instance, you need $1 million, we go to the bank, sit on our hands and knees, take the kids, the properties, and everything else of that sort, instead of actually looking to, say, finding 100 people somewhere around the world who would invest $10,000 in it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the DARE bill now allows, as well as some other tools.
So, let's make a point. Before the DARE bill, the DARE Act, we couldn't do that.
No, we couldn't. But it does allow it now for the last number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example, right? I haven't worked in the banking industry. Behemoths have this thing of saying banks only finance vehicles. The funny thing is they're actually correct. The problem is we've never been taught what vehicles is.
Mm-hmm.
And let me be short on this. An automobile... these are vehicles for transportation. A house is a vehicle for home ownership. And a business is a vehicle for wealth. Notice the word vehicle in each of those.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we keep thinking cars are exclusively a vehicle that a bank deals with. Now, the reason why in the banking industry they only invest in vehicles, if you don't pay for that automobile, they can take you out and put somebody else in. If you don't pay for that house, which is another vehicle for home ownership, they can take you out and put somebody else in. The problem is when they go to present this vehicle for business, it is an incomplete vehicle. For instance, when you go to buy an automobile from the bank, they don't ask you, does it have four wheels, does it have a windshield, what about the engine and everything,
mm-hmm.
anything for the house, does it have doors, does it have windows, whatever, because they can see the vehicle in its totality.
Yeah.
The problem is that we haven't been taught how to bring or develop these vehicles to take to the bank, which is called business, for them to be able to see how they could
right.
give you money for that, and in the absence of you not producing, they can take you out. And a lot
you.
Of these vehicles that we, as behemoths, we build them on us as opposed to system.
I got you. But see, Alan, look here. Thank you very much. I got a bunch of texts, a bunch of callers. The point you made was so important for people to hear, though. Thank you. Good morning, caller. You there? Sorry, we miss you. Let me hit the text line. Oh, good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. And you, Erin?
Good, thank you.
I just called to give a brief comment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know we're talking about all of these crimes and the way people are acting towards things today? My comment is
mm-hmm.
we are now in the age of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
People look at who is governing the country and see the what I call disrespect for laws, because there are many instances and that you can look at the examples that even though the people of the nation wanted something else, this government just refused to listen to people and they go about doing things the way that they want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the populace is looking at how they govern the country, and they have resorted to acting the same way. So
mm-hmm.
there's this blatant disrespect for laws that is now prevailing in the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I just wanted to make that brief comment, and until we straighten this thing out and put people up there that will listen to what the nation wants and abide by the law, because countries are governed by law. So if the people at the top don't have no respect for the laws, the citizenry is going to follow. And that is what happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to comment on that, because I'm not the only one that think that way. It's a whole lot of people just that. People ain't saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they decide to correct it whatever way they choose. Just correct the wrong, and let's change this road that this country is heading down. Because every nation that head down that path is destroyed. And we are heading that way.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Evan.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I couldn't have said it better. I mean, I could say it again and again, but it still ain't gonna be as good as that. That's it right there. The disregard and disrespect for the rule of law at the top, right? Trickle down faster than money. And rain down upon the people, a people who you know collectively, culturally, will say, whatever you doing, I doing. If you for it, I five it. People are saying out loud. In fact, there's a video. I like it because the camera is mounted in the commercial truck, right? And he is observing a police officer just disregarding the traffic controls that are clearly painted in the road. And then I realized that people seek out positions of authority not out of a desire or commitment to uphold said authority, but in an attempt to create a space where they don't have to follow the authority because they are the authority. At least that's how they read it. But remember, I was talking about this term functionally illiterate. Let's go to the text line. Good morning, Aaron. You believe in secession planning? Where is their trust? These people don't believe in God. The government shows us they'll pay for nothing in Lucayan Hotel to sacrifice PMH. Like no cafeteria beating a good nurse for speaking truth to power by making people believe things getting done. Just goosying up. That's why we de-average while smuggling. You might as well have a new smuggler's dance for Junkanoo. That's all this is. DSC, that's the thing. But it's talking about the 3 score and 10 gang. Like, are they aware of themselves and the extent to which they dominate culture and thinking in the country? Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
It's Green.
Yes, sir.
How are you this morning? We're going to end this year kind of strong.
Okay.
Did this Sea Island Johnson gentleman from Grand Bahama,
mm-hmm.
he has the answer to every problem.
I'm trying to get him to start a school now.
Do you think they should make him minister of Grand Bahama?
Listen, no. Hold on, no.
Grand Bahama, because he knows everything.
So, cool.
He has the solution to every problem besides Grand Bahama.
Making him the minister of Grand Bahama ain't gonna fix nothing, though. Has it?
But he can fix everything, but Grand Bahama ain't nothing happening. Why don't he get on? The local government do something to build up Grand Bahama. He's starting to be a little funny to people now, man. I thought only me one felt this way.
Hold on. That's not
conversations over the weekend. A lot.
No. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't attack him like that. We can't do that. Now, what I will say is, Matt C. Allen opened the school. Open the school. In the same vein, is the current minister Grand Bahama doing anything? Is she doing anything? Yeah? But the point is that the problems in Grand Bahama go far beyond the power of the minister. Everything goes far beyond the power of the minister in this town, right? Y'all see that, right? Equal among equals. I don't know what that means. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Let me just say to the previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. C. Allen Johnson represents the consciousness of many of us out here in the Bahamas that care about our country and want to see what's best for the country. How about some of the things that C. Allen Johnson speaks to that the current administration would apply some of them and see if the litmus test would prove that what he's saying is true or not. That is where the real test comes in. You can't blame someone who has the intellectual capacity to express and verbalize his thoughts on where the country is, where the country could be, and his vision for where he wants to see the country. And he's expressing that in the open domain. That is much more than most of the ministers that we have in our parliament today is doing for the Bahamian people. So you can't chastise him. Many of us out here love our country, and we want to see what's best for this country. And yes, whereas I may agree that some of the things that he says, I have no knowledge to or whatever, but see, this is where the litmus test then comes in. Let the government then say, listen, we hear the citizenry, we heard some of the possible solutions that he or many of us mentioned. Mm-hmm. We are going to test them, and we're going to see how far we can push them. That's all that's required. But remember, in closing, the people, we are the government.
I got you.
Not those that sit in our parliament. We are the government.
Thank you.
And if we're going to sit here and allow them to continue to push their agenda on us without our voices being heard, then that is our cry. That's all I want to say, Aaron.
Thank you. Let's get that last caller in very quickly. Caller, you got 30 seconds.
Yeah, Ms. Green, we shouldn't be fighting one another, but the New World Order will be achieved through mass psychosis and mass conformity via the United Nations. The fact that it's named the United Nations and you have the United Nations, it's obviously showing you the obliteration of nation states. But I want to say this, animizing one another. But the last caller, I mean, before that, who asked Ambassador T. Allen, he shows how limited he is because, I mean, T. Allen and the other gentleman called was displayed some form of aphorism. But I'll say this, yesterday on Andes Avenue, a truck with a PLP emblems on it and supporters almost ran me up the road. They were riding on the wrong side of the road. They were on the westbound lane. I was heading west and I had my son in the car and I blew.
Mm-hmm.
I blew my horn and they didn't seem to yield, so I had to run on the side of the road. It should be on camera. But I'm saying is, I just want to show you the effect of this stupefying effect on political buffoonery in this country. That's what happened to me. I call you because you're the traffic jam.
I got you. Thank you. Recently, the PLP party sent out a statement, a request, I guess, reminding party members and supporters that the use of its official party logos and symbols, right, are limited to authorized agents of the party only, and they listed who can use it and who cannot use it. This is an attempt, I hope, to get a handle on the political culture that is slowly unwinding itself and we're slowly losing control of. Here's just a couple more texts before I go. The problem was not solved. The problem was the registrar allowed an entity to register a name already in use. Ah, boy. You have my producer say the music playing. Hi, Aaron. What if I copyright the name Aaron Green? Tell you that you can no longer use that name. You should try it. You should do that because I have some bills. Do it right now. Because I have some bills. And I'm going to take on the name Gay Wench. I like that. Where's that gentleman? I want that gentleman to know I like that name and I've taken it. So don't copyright that one either. Ah, the court is making the government look silly. No, Texter. Again, producer, I come in right now. When you're reading the law, you have to have legal literacy. That's why there's so much confusion. Because most people in the conversation don't have sufficient legal literacy to make sense of what's happening. It's not an indictment. It's not a defamation or a degradation. It's not derogative. It is the reality. We are becoming more and more functionally illiterate people, and we need to work on that. Anyway, y'all stay tuned, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.